selección musical.
And Romel Cajavilca in the Technical Production, Edition and Music Selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
This is Amanda Dawn Christie telling you that if you're interested in radio, AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, pirate broadcasting, and more, you won't want to miss the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM. For April the 2nd, 2021, it is Easter Sunday. Happy Easter to all of those out there who celebrate the holiday. And, Gilles, as you were saying, happy Chocolate Day.
Happy Chocolate Day.
How much chocolate is consumed on Easter weekend? I'm not sure.
Man.
Probably a lot. We don't have any with us here right now. Maybe do you?
I do.
Oh, you do?
I have some Easter eggs, chocolate Easter eggs. But I went to the store and half of Easter stuff was already gone from the shelves.
We thank you for listening in today. As usual, we are here with 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. You can email us radioreport@yahoo.com. You can listen to us live streaming or archived on the CKUT website, ckut.ca. And you can check out our Facebook group, International Radio Report. We welcome Dylan, Timo, Parik. That brings us to 583 members. And, of course, our new, fairly new YouTube channel, where you'll have the shows posted as well. Same day after they air, you'll have them up there, usually with about an hour after the show airs. So if you have any difficulty with the live streaming or prefer to use YouTube, you can do it there. Just look for our channel, International Radio Report, on YouTube. And we're hoping to get our exclusive URL for the YouTube channel very shortly. We'll fill you in on that when it happens. So we will get to this week's news, starting off with the wrap-up of the CKUT funding drive, which ended recently. And we have a message from CKUT. CKUT's 2021 virtual funding drive came to a close on Sunday, March the 28th, and we are overjoyed to let you know that we have surpassed our initial goal of $25,000 and have raised, as we're recording, $30,147.
Great.
As always, yeah, that's great. More than expected, for sure. As always, we're accepting donations year-round, and we still have plenty of our 2021-themed T-shirts, tote bags, etc. left, so you can still go online and make a pledge if you like. Thank you to our listeners for continuing to support grassroots community media. Your donations and support underline our mandate of people-powered radio. And to zero it in a little bit on our show, we want to thank the following people who contributed to the funding drive and tagged their donations to our show. Nigel Pimblett, Mickey Delmage, David Bochner, Terence Ladd, Ian Millett, Thomas Beaton, Eric Cottrell, Normand Martel, Jose Louis Duke, Ken Miller, Brent Johnson, Ronald Hunsicker, John Fisher, Brian Penny, Greg Steenstra, and Peter Laws, plus ourselves, of course. We chipped in our own contributions to our own show, of course. So we ended with a total of $1,075 collected for our two half-hour shows combined.
Amazing.
And what's really pleasing us is that that amount actually makes up 3.58% of the total pledges made to the CKUT funding drive.
Wow.
I think that's pretty impressive for two
half-hour
shows. just so grateful to everybody that's supported us and supported the show over the years. So we thank all of you for your donations this year to the CKUT funding drive. And if you missed it, you still can go online at ckut.ca and make your pledge.
Now, in Canadian news, we start with some news from within our own country this week. We have Canadian sports radio that struggles and it causes a surge in digital content. This is by Russ Heltman, Barrett Sports Media. The pandemic has hit radio stations everywhere, and Canada is no different. In February, Bell Media announced that they were closing all three of their seven sports talk stations. They also don't have a Toronto Blue Jays radio crew for the first time. It's not just Bell Media either. Lack of advertising revenue and an increase in the work-from-home population has Canadian Association of Broadcasters projecting around 200 radio stations could close down in the country. All of this volatility has led Canadian sports personalities away from traditional media. The Athletic talked with a few of them, including Ashley Docking and Andrew Patterson, about their ventures. Docking formerly co-hosted the morning show on 590 The Fan in Toronto, but left the station in 2020. She now creates post-game TikTok videos following Raptors games. The project started in January and has boosted her reach on Twitter by 1 million impressions. Media fragmentation means you can diversify your offerings and can go after demographics that never felt included, Docking said. You can open the door for marketing dollars from companies that you just haven't thought of yet. Patterson hosted an afternoon drive show in one of the shuttered TSN radio markets. He launched the Winnipeg Sports Talk podcast earlier this month. I think the potential for this is massive. Our podcast numbers have been amazing. And we have all these TSN 1290 orphans in our chat room. People who used to listen to us on radio, and now they shifted over here. It's like we are a brand new community. Patterson and Docking are finding niche spots in the industry and capitalizing on them during a volatile time up north. This is great. It shows that the internet has a possibility of interfering and having causing problems with the radio market for sure. But one of the things also that it does is that these personalities, these people, not only still have a voice, but it's less rigid. What you do on the web has, you know, it's a relaxed format. You can talk about much more. You can expand much more, where radio has a very rigid frame in general when you actually have a show. So it shows, you know, there's a shift. It shows that people are also following that shift. And that could mean bad news for radio.
Yeah, that prediction of possibly 200 radio stations closing in Canada is pretty dramatic.
Yes. And a lot of them probably are on the AM side for the most part, as we always talk about how the AM radio side of is always kind of a little difficult and going away slowly.
It's also a lot more costly to operate to compared to FM.
Yeah, absolutely. In other Canadian news, we have the French side of things that's having a little controversy, especially here in Quebec, when we talk about the content of Francophone music in the radio markets. So right now, since 2015, what's happening is that they're asking for a diminution of Francophone music on the radio. And this is Bell Media, Cogeco, Arsenal Media, and RNC Media that are actually together in here. And they are the owners of all the radio stations, of course. They say that the 65% quota that is asked is way too much. They'd like to bring that down to 35%. And of course, here in Quebec, La Disque, which is the organization that has all the Francophone artists, is, of course, not happy at this, because they say that a lot of Francophone artists might not have a voice if they lower the quotas. Right now, the quotas are 65% during the daytime, well, actually prime time, and 55% at certain other times of the day. Bell Media and all of these big companies are saying that when they asked their listeners that are 25 to 54 years old, in general, their habits is 26 to 30% of Francophone music in their music listening habits. So that's why they also want to bring it down. They say, well, it, you know, 65% does not reflect what the listeners actually want in reality. They were saying, and that's what we were talking about, probably this is a general number for Canada, out of the 10,000 most popular songs that listeners listen online, only 2.7% are Francophone music. So that's a pretty small number. Now, one of the things that they want is to wait until the government will adopt a law, the Project C10, which apparently would actually ask online services like Spotify to actually have a quota of French language music. That, I don't know how they can actually ask online services to have that. I don't even know if the CRTC really does have the possibility to ask for that. I don't know how that's going to go, but one thing for sure is that it's true that online services like Spotify and so on, you know, you have what you want. And I'm sure that people are not listening to 65% of, you know, Francophone music when they listen to a service like that. So
no, I can't see how they could possibly try to regulate services like Spotify, but I guess they're going to try. You know, I think a lot of this could be solved by doing one simple thing in Canada: allowing bilingual radio stations.
Yeah, we've talked about it so many times.
You know, there's that two solitudes, that wall that the CRTC has built up between English and French. And, you know, you go back into the 70s and 80s in Montreal when Chom FM decided to almost turn themselves bilingual with a number of French-speaking announcers. They were playing a high percentage of French music and really introduced the English community to a lot of those French Franco artists from Quebec. But it was the French radio stations who protest and complained to the CRTC and forced Chom to go back to only English talk on the radio and predominantly English music. I think we're so far beyond that now.
Yeah.
That, you know, we have so many bilingual people, particularly in the province of Quebec. Why can we not have a bilingual media outlet of some sort that, you know, that addresses that?
And I think that would be great. And I think that would also maybe help in uniting a little more the two sides.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. But I don't know. Will we ever see it in our lifetime? It just seems so rigid and so firm and ingrained in how the CRTC does things. Maybe this will sort of open some eyes and some ears as to what people really want out there and try to balance it out a little bit on both sides.
Yeah. You know? And I think it's a lot of old way of thinking of radio, and nobody wants to change that. They're still thinking like 30 years ago, and maybe it's time that we start thinking out of the box and have good ideas. Maybe that also, at the same time, can save radio if it's in difficulty.
Yeah, I think it's a creative idea for somebody to test the waters and see what happens with it. But they've got to get through the bureaucracy and the red tape first. So we'll see if something comes of it. But we'll follow that story closely because that's going to stir up a lot of controversy, as you said.
Oh, yeah.
We move next to the U.S., and something else that's controversial, of course, is pirate radio. And we do like to keep you up to date on the pirate radio scene. This comes from Paul McLean at Radio World, and we thank Alex Kaminsky for passing this story along. The FCC can use new pirate radio fines starting April the 26th. As of that date, the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, can start hitting pirate radio operators with these beefy new fines. The Federal Register has now published rules that the FCC recently adopted at the direction of Congress in the Preventing Illegal Radio Abuse Through Enforcement, or the Pirate Act. The rules take effect April the 26th. The act, signed by President Trump early last year, gives the FCC authority to levy fines of up to $100,000 per violation and as much as $2 million in total. It also aimed to streamline the enforcement process, requires the FCC to conduct mandatory enforcement sweeps in cities with the highest concentration of pirate radio use, and seeks to ensure more coordination among federal, state, and local law enforcement. The law also mandated the creation of a publicly accessible online database that lists U.S. stations as well as all entities that have received notice that they are operating a broadcast station without authority. But whether the commission will be able to carry out all of these goals anytime soon is a question. In January, the head of enforcement at the FCC told Congress that efforts to implement the act against illegal stations have been hampered by the pandemic, as well as a lack of funding. Rosemary Harrell, chief of the Enforcement Bureau, submitted the commission's first annual report to Congress about its pirate radio work. The federal government in these new rules defines the pirate radio broadcasting as the transmission of communications on spectrum frequencies between 535 and 1705 kilohertz inclusive, or 87.7 and 108 megahertz, so the AM and the FM band, without a license issued by the commission, but does not include unlicensed operations in compliance with Part 15 of Title 47. That would be the low-powered FM stations, Code of Federal Regulations. Part 15 allows certain unlicensed operations at very low power levels. A lot of money to enforce these things if you want people going out there doing mandatory sweeps of different cities. Right now, it's basically on reports that they receive or complaints from commercially licensed radio stations that are having their signals interfered with or what have you. But if they just want them to go out and start scanning around looking for illegal transmissions, that's going to take a lot of time, a lot of people, and a lot of money.
It's difficult to see how they can actually and will actually do this, honestly. It's too much work to actually do this. So I don't think this is something that will actually happen, honestly.
They may really focus on some of the big cities, you know, Miami, New York City, a few others around the United States that are really hotbeds for pirate activity. But other than that, I think it'll be on a complaint basis only, probably.
I think we could just say, being an AM or FM pirate is not necessarily a great idea right now.
No, that's for sure.
So we have our space weather for the week. Conditions were in general rather quiet. We had a little bit of unsettled conditions happen this week, but nothing major. For the first time in a few weeks now, we have no sunspots. So a blank sun has returned for now. Let's hope that it's not going to last too long. Solar flux hovering around 78, the K index around 1, 2, that's pretty good. Nice propagation. Lots of signals this week I was noticing from Asia on the 31, 25 meter band. Even heard North Korea this week for the first time in I don't know how long. It wasn't very strong, but it was there. So propagation was not bad, actually. There is a solar wind coming our way. The stream of solar wind flowing from a coronal hole will reach the Earth around April 5th or 6th, and so that could cause some unsettled conditions. But overall, things are quiet, and hope that it continues like that and we have some great propagation coming our way. Just turn on the radio and listen. It's the best way to know what's out there.
Hi, I'm Eric Cottrell of Lynn, Massachusetts. I get my weekly radio news on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in beautiful Montreal.
Now, you have a story, stories we like about the popularity of radio. So we have another one of those today that you have from Radio World.
Yes. So this is a survey that shows the shift in radio listening during the pandemic. It's by Randy J. Stein from Radio World via Alex Kaminsky. New consumer research commissioned by technology provider Frontier Smart Technologies shows how the coronavirus shifted broadcast radio listening across the United Kingdom and how those developments could influence that country's move towards DAB, digital audio broadcasting, DAB+, and IP streaming and multimedia technologies. The newly released survey examined the audio listening habits of the British public. From March 24th to May 11th, 2020, during the first UK COVID-19 lockdown, a total of 1,096 people participated in the survey. The majority of the survey panel was between the ages of 36 to 65 years old, according to Frontier Smart Technologies. The UK survey findings also reinforced the importance of the radio receiver as a dedicated device, with a significant number of people, 40%, reporting that a standalone radio was their main source of audio entertainment. That is good news. And that is compared to the mobile phone at 19%, the smart speaker at 18%, the laptop PC 8%, tablets 5%, CD record player 4%, and other at 6%. A review provided by Frontier Smart Technologies concludes the continuing popularity of radio listening and devices dedicated to this purpose, as well as these shifts in listening habits, are likely to extend beyond COVID-19 in some form, as workers who wish to continue splitting business hours between the home and the office to enjoy more flexible arrangements push for the new normal to inform the post-COVID workplace. You know, I think one of the things we talked about a lot is commute is a big, big radio time for a lot of people. When they started working from home, you know, we have these habits, and habits means that if you're not in your car listening to whatever you're listening in the morning or in the evening, you might have wanted to listen to it at home. So you'll turn on that radio while you're at home to have also at the same time a sense of normalness in this area. And I think this is good news. It shows that radio is a big part of everyday life for a lot of people.
And the fact that that many people have standalone radios.
Yes.
You know, somewhere, I mean, you know, we're radio nuts. We have radios all around us. But a lot of people, you know, it's a good thing that they at least have that one radio somewhere. You know, a battery-powered operated radio in case the power goes out.
Yep.
Always nice to have standing by.
Absolutely.
You know, keep those things handy. You never know. So, that's a good story. And maybe a somewhat related story comes out of Ireland. This is a follow-up story to one that we've been watching out of Ireland. And it comes from Radio Today. DAB digital radio broadcasting ends in Ireland. March 31st marked the end of DAB digital radio transmissions in Ireland as the RTE, the network, switched off its services on the platform. The broadcaster originally announced in 2019 that it would also shut down the stations using DAB as their main outlet, but made a U-turn earlier this month. Now the stations RTE Gold, 2XM, Radio 1 Extra, RTE Pulse, and RTE Junior Radio continue online only, offering hope that they may one day return to DAB. RTE said its decision to cease DAB transmission was driven by three main factors: the fact that DAB was the least utilized platform in Ireland, that RTE is the only Irish broadcaster on the DAB system, and cost avoidance. A report commissioned by the broadcaster found that just 0.5% of adults in Ireland listen to radio via DAB, while 77% of adults in Ireland listen on FM. Commercial and pirate services using the platform, along with a few trials, have also ended in recent years, with no word from the government regarding any plans to switch to digital broadcasting in Ireland. RTE Gold sent out this message to their listeners, quote, "So it would seem the DAB service has indeed been closed. Thanks to all who have listened to us on DAB over the years. We really hope you can continue to listen to us online on any computer or smart device, phone, tablet, speaker, or internet radio, or on your TV." How about on your radio?
Yep.
But this is a big reversal, you know, from what we've been seeing.
I think it has something to do with the fact that when you have this new format, we see it here in North America with HD radio. You got a new format. Most people probably don't even know that it exists. First of all, we don't really hear much about what HD radio is all about here. And I'm sure that we can say that they're DAB, unless it was really pushed. Not a lot of people knew about it. And people don't move on to that service or those services unless they have to. And basically, they don't understand why they should move on. I could easily see why somebody that has a perfectly good FM radio listening to their favorite stations, they don't see the need to move on to this. Even though there are advantages. I mean, since I've had my little HG radio, I have to admit that there's a few little things I do like. The fact that you can have added channels and information. But still, you've got a perfectly good working radio. And, you know, the more I look at it, the more I see the countries where it actually takes on is the countries that just put a deadline and say, well, analog radio stops on this date. But every country that does not have a deadline, it's not taking on.
No, it's going to take a good marketing job to convince people. Yeah. And, you know, to get them to go out and buy a new radio as well.
Yeah.
Hey, this thing's worked for 50 years, 60 years, you know, whatever, however old the person is, they've had that radio working.
Yep.
Going to be hard to change old habits. That's
absolutely
for sure. We will wrap up as usual with a lot of ham radio contests coming up next weekend that we want to tell you about. So we'll run through them quickly. We'll put up links to all of them on our Facebook page so you can get all the details. The first is the QRP ARCI Spring QSO Party, 0-100 to 600 UTC, April the 10th, sponsored by the QRP Quarterly. It's an HFCW contest only, and they're very specific frequencies, which we'll mention in the posting as well, through one frequency suggested in each of the HF ham bands. So that's a little bit rigid on the restrictions on that one.
There's the Japan International DX Organization CW contest from 07 Zulu April 10th to 13 Zulu April 11th. The objective for amateurs around the world to work DX contacts JA stations in as many JA prefectures and JD1 islands as possible. For amateurs in Japan to contact DX stations, as many DXCC entities and CQ zones as possible. It's CW only, and it's the HF bands except the work bands.
We have the Straight Key Century Club sponsoring their weekend sprintathon, 1200 Zulu April 10th to 2359 Zulu April 11th. Open to all licensed amateurs as well as shortwave listeners. The mode is CW. The bands are 160 through 6 meters, excluding the work bands. And that is CW only, as I said.
There's the IGRY Worldwide RTTY Contest. This is sponsored by the RTTY Interest Group. 12 Zulu on April 10th to 18 Zulu April 11th. The objective, inviting all amateur radio stations worldwide to contact as many other amateur radio stations as possible using RTTY Baudo Mode 45, which is the standard RTTY for amateur radio. The bands are 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz, and it's RTTY only.
We have the Georgia QSO Party, 1600 April 10th to 0400 April the 11th. And this is for radio amateurs outside the state of Georgia to make contacts with as many SSB and or CW Georgia stations in as many of the 159 Georgia counties as possible. Amateurs inside the state can make contacts with everyone. Note, digital contacts are not allowed in the Georgia QSO Party. It is 160 through 6 meters with specific frequencies listed for both SSB and CW. We'll post all of that for you.
There's the Hungarian Straight Key Contest, 15 to 16 Zulu, April 11th. Sponsored by the HA8KUX Radio Club, CW only, and it's 80 meters, anywhere from 3520 to 3570 kilohertz.
And finally, the Four States QRP Group Second Sunday Sprint, sponsored by the Four States Group, a QRP group, which is Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Kansas. It is 0-100 to 0-200 on April the 12th. The bands are 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10. CW and SSB, QRP only, though, so low-powered contest for that two-hour sprint.
That looks good, and we are already out of time.
We are. We thank you for tuning in today, Easter Sunday. Have a good rest of the weekend. And we thank everyone once again for your contributions to the funding drive. If you missed out, you still have time to go do it anytime you like at the CKUT website, ckut.ca. We thank you for tuning in today. We will be back again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Is intended for all Quebecers. We must take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19.
United Nations.
Le soleil, que c'est bon quand il vient me brûler la peau. Je suis bien.